I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today we get to talk trailer parks, and we're not going to talk ugly. I said just be prepared. Come into this conversation ready to learn how mobile home parks are an amazing solution to the affordable housing crisis and a great investment too. Charlotte Dunford is with us. She's young, she's smart, and you're going to enjoy this conversation. I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor. If you've never heard of Follow Up Boss, you're going to love it. And it's going to get you organized in a way that will actually impact your business for profitability and for better excellence with those you're serving. For more information, go to followupboss.com/crazy. So talk to me a little bit about where you're located and what you're doing in and around real estate. Give us a little bit of the Charlotte story.
Yeah, so we are based out of Georgia, actually a little suburb outside of Atlanta. So how I started in real estate is we focus on mobile home park syndications and private equity. So we started in 2019 when we bought our first mobile home park, and now we have 28 mobile home parks in our portfolio, and we have done a full cycle on one of the parks that we bought in mid-2020. So that's what we do in a nutshell. I can go more into how I started and the story.
Oh, I definitely need more of that, because my audience for this show is not just real estate agents. It's also regular members of the public who are interested in the different angles of real estate. So you have quite a broad audience listening to you and watching today. So they love knowing how you land in this space and where you were prior, what attracted you to real estate investment as a strategy, and give us a little bit of the backstory. You don't have to talk for more than a minute or so about it, but just give them a little bit of flair.
Yeah. So I'm actually not an agent, not a real estate agent. So we work in private equity, so syndications. So how I started was right after I graduated from Georgia Tech, an engineering school here in Georgia, in business degree.
I went to Carolina. I know the ACC girl, and we're better than Georgia Tech all day long. I'm just going to point that out.
Perfect. So I'm sorry. What happened to my...
See, I made fun of Georgia Tech and the engineering people came through the computer and took you down.
Oh my gosh, what happened? Hold on.
I know, I still see you.
Where did I go?
I don't know. Did your bandwidth, is your USB overloaded on your computer?
No. Hold on.
Okay.
So I graduated from Georgia Tech. So it was interesting because I got in at an industrial engineering major, and I switched to business. So they're similar, but they're also different. I wanted more of a business focus. So right out of college, I got a job as a business data analyst, just a corporate job in the suburb of Atlanta. But I started buying real estate immediately after I took on my first job, using my salary as financing. But you know, the first job out of college salary is not going to keep up quickly with your financing needs at all. So after a single family home and a duplex, I quickly found myself kind of trapped for financing from a lender perspective, because you know, you're getting raises, but your raises are nowhere as quickly as I wanted to scale. So I took the jump and I quit my job. I quit my corporate job. I was 24 when I quit my corporate job and started my own company. And it was kind of a risk for me, because at the time I just quit. And with two properties under my belt, and my husband was still in school at Georgia Tech, he was a computer science major, and he didn't have a job. And I just quit my job, and a little, very little 401k or whatever savings we had was not enough cushion to start a venture. But I did see the opportunities in real estate at the time, and I did not want to wait any longer before the market changes, the market shifts, because in business, you need a lot of different factors to be successful, including the market, including the timing. And it was a great time to get into mobile home.
Oh, yeah.
Early in the curve.
You mentioned you had a single family and a duplex. Was one of those a primary residence, or did you buy only investment out of the gate?
So one of them was primary because that was the only way that we could do that through financing. And then the other one was investment property, the duplex.
Very good. You were really smart early to get into the duplex side because obviously it lowers your risk when you have more than one tenant in a property. And I'm always amazed how many young people aren't taking advantage of that sooner, especially in a market where it's grown a lot, but still relatively there's affordable opportunities in and around the Atlanta market in a lot of different ways.
Yes.
So you started your own company. And what was the company you started when you left out of the corporate world?
So I started exploring options and mobile home parks quickly drew my attention because of it's early in the curve, it's the higher cap rate and the meat on the bone because the need for affordable housing and the meat on the bone refers to, I think, how much of a discount you can get and how much more rent you can increase because they're still playing catch up and prices are low. So that's when I started. Well, it's not Johns Creek Capital today. My company today, Johns Creek Capital, is grew rapidly and quite large through the past couple of years. But at the time, I simply started an LLC to start buying mobile home parks. So the first company I started was with some, you know, smaller investors and who funded the first deal of mobile home parks. And it was a smaller park in South Georgia, close to the Augusta area, had plenty of employment opportunities. And there were plenty of migrant workers who actually got that deal through seller financing. It was really attractive deal. We're actually still holding that park.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, so that was the first deal. And then I quickly started buying the second deal, a smaller park in Illinois. And then the third deal, when I met my partner, by the end of 2019, we bought a park in a small park in Ohio. And then things quickly took off in 2020. And then we grew from zero park to one park until 29 acquisitions today. And we sold one this year. So we actually have 28 parks under our portfolio. And with lots of investor backing and investor interest and the people that are not friends and family anymore are, you know, professional investors and investors who they're accredited investors with high net worth investing in this space.
Hey, friend, let me ask you a question. Do you ever wish that you had a YouTube channel that brought in actual real life potential clients in your marketplace just from simple videos made at home on your iPhone or Droid? And then what would that business actually look like if there was an automated marketing system that worked for you 24/7 without you spending a ton of money on ads? Well, my friend Karen Carr, she's amazing, wants to help you. She will help you fill your pipeline with real live neighbors that are dying to work with somebody that they would love. And that would be you. And then you're going to love them because they love you. And it's a giant win-win for everybody. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you her next virtual event is coming up. It's called Video Boss Bootcamp. I've taken it. It's amazing. It is 5 days. So you're going to have to carve out time, 5 consecutive days. And what will happen in that virtual experience is a shortcut to using YouTube and succeeding on YouTube, getting in front of more potential prospects and having them ready to hire you when they are ready to buy and sell. Now, by the end of that week, you're going to walk away with an actual blueprint, actual physical instructions to show you what your YouTube channel should look like and what it needs to be a client attraction magnet. Now, along with handing over the exact steps for this strategy, I mean, I'm not lying to y'all. She'll give you every single thing you need to do. Karen's actually going to answer your questions because some of you may not absorb it. She's going to hold your hand through the process and along the way, motivate you to making these simple videos to bring you paying clients. Best part, this 5-day training is only $27, $27. So go to videobossagent.com/LeeBrown to sign up today and save your seat and save some money too. 5 days of training plus Q&A with the queen, checklist, cheat sheets, and everything to help you get busy implementing. I'm telling y'all. And by the way, the private community of people that are learning together, also wildly powerful. Because in addition to that community, You get 12 months of replays in case you want to watch them again. And if you didn't hear her, Karen actually spoke at the National Association of Realtors Convention in November. Her room was jam-packed and the people left jam-packed with information. I mean, did you see the line of people waiting to ask questions? You don't even have to wait in that line. Pay $27 at videobossagent.com/LeeBrown and you can talk to Karen while you're taking the program. So get all your questions answered, get your strategy in place, build your business. And by the way, this starts March 20th. So get registered now. She will cap the registration and you don't want to have any FOMO. Videobossagent.com/LeeBrown. Reserve your seat. And then tell me what you learned.
Now, back to this amazing
episode.
So obviously being young and fairly inexperienced in the space when you got in, the biggest hiccup is usually finding the capital and finding the investors. So how did you find people that were willing to invest in you and give you the backing to go put this together when it started?
Yeah, so you have to have some sort of experience. You can be young, but you don't have to be super inexperienced. You can have experience. I know some of the best real estate people are fairly young and they're really killing it in this space. So I think for me, like I said, I really started buying real estate right off the bat. So I was 23 years old when I started buying that single family home and the duplex. So I had some real estate experience under my belt. So some, not a lot, but as I was exploring more and more into the space, so you have to talk to investors about your experience. You have to show that you have a track record of some sort of track records. You can't just be, oh, I know nothing about real estate, but I'm ready to take your money and do some risky.
Right.
That's not going to happen. So you have to be able to have some experience under your belt. So that was my experience. And I started with smaller investors that I knew that would be interested in real estate. So that's kind of how the snowball started rolling. And with that, you have more experience and experience grew. You actually are starting to get really good at what you're doing and you have a process, you have an algorithm. And both my partner and I are quite, I would say, nerdy people and developed certain processes and systems for real estate. So it really needs to be run as a machine, not just someone who wants to go out there and get a deal. So
back to my question, though, where did you find those investors? Were they friends and family or were they from meetups? Or because even if you've been managing a duplex, that's still not very experienced. And so you had to learn how to tell a story that would lead somebody to trust you. Are you saying the numbers were the story and you were just more organized than most investors? The reason I'm asking, we have a lot of viewers on the show that are new to investing and they're trying to put together A to B. How did you do it? So give them a little bit of me to tell them the way you put the story together, because it's fascinating to me when anybody can take their experience and get somebody else to trust them with their hard-earned dollars, because that's a huge leap of faith for that investor to take. And we think friends and family are an easy route, but they're sometimes the harder route because they've known you forever. And so they have to see how you do, but a random stranger might trust you even more. So I'd love to hear more of the details.
The first deal was with some friends. However, it was a very small deal. And the second deal I funded with my own money. And the third deal, the duplex and the single family and the second mobile home park was all with my own money. So I kind of built it up with my own money, having that experience. And as far as how do I get my first, you know, real big investor who are not friends of him, like I said, majority of our investors are not friends and family at all. So first of all, I have the educational background, come from Georgia Tech with kind of the critical thinking that we do have. And then the training that we do have, you have to carry yourself in the highest level of professionalism to when you talk to investors. And also, like I said, even with a little bit of experience, you have to be able to present your knowledge of the marketplace and what I was just able to convey what this space represents, mobile home parks, what it represents. And I did have some experience. And like I said, the very first mobile home park that I funded with my own money, experimenting with my own money. I wouldn't take someone else's money, just experiment with it. So once I got that experience under the belt, and a lot of those investors are accredited and they're sophisticated, they understand financing. And most of our investors are top executives in top companies, and they were investment bankers themselves, and they understand a lot about finance and real estate, and they've invested before. So for them to make that judgment call to understand who you are, that's really how you present your experience, how you talk to them about why you believe in this idea. So really, it's always difficult to raise funds. It's always difficult to have investors on board, but I think it just goes down to how you present yourself and your actual experience. So because, you know, your charm and personality only goes so far, that's not going to carry
absolutely
very far.
Some realtors do more business than others, and it's not just their great looks and their charm and amazing hair. It's their follow-up, y'all. People on average forget the marketing message after 16 days. Follow-up Boss will plug into the system you're using. And yes, they integrate with over 250 different programs to help you get organized with your past clients and with those neighbors that frankly should be your future clients. And if you go to followupboss.com/crazy, you get a 30-day free trial to go see how this works for your business. I can promise you, the people who forgot you didn't mean to, they want to hear from you. So go to followupboss.com/crazy, and you'll suddenly figure out why all these top producers in the market are getting more business. It has to do with organization and detail work, and you can get there too. Followupboss.com/crazy for your 30-day free trial. Check it out. Let me know how it goes for you. How'd you get yourself educated on mobile home parks? Did you have a mentor in the business? And where did you find access to the numbers to do the digging and understand the market? Because it's definitely a specialty market. And I believe mobile homes are the original affordable housing. And it drives me crazy when people turn them into a parody, because they're not trash. They are affordable housing for a lot of different people who have a need of a place to stay. So where did you find your education?
So there isn't a, when people start out, I think I was there as well. I was in the same boat. We wish that there would be a book or a person that tells you everything about this space, and it becomes easy, right? So it doesn't happen that way. It would never happen that way. You would never have a book, one person, one resource where you can just listen to and you are so ready to take on the investment world. It does not exist. So what you need to do, and what I did, was that really just constant learning. And we're still learning because the market is always shifting.
True.
Asset class is always shifting. So you really have to take whatever resources you can get about mobile home parks. And there are plenty of resources, including Mobile Home Park University, some of the bigger educators in mobile home parks. So you can really, you can either attend their boot camp, which is spent money, and do that. But, you know, it may be worth it for you if you're serious about this. And I never attended the boot camp. I just read as much as I could and listened to their webinars as much as I could. So you really, when you don't have a lot of resources at hand, you just have to educate yourself and become knowledgeable about the space. So really, there isn't a magic formula on how to know everything. You just have to, I guess the way is to constantly learn and to study. The most important thing is to take action and really jump in to buy your home park, and maybe you're with your own money, so that, you know, you're not taking the risk of someone else's money with their inexperience. And once you are successful and you're experienced, you can show your track record, then that's when you can talk to investors. And I think that would be the more responsible thing.
You're totally right. I mean, you learn more by doing than you do by reading. And I guess that first opportunity for you was a wild learning experience. I'm curious as to what surprised you the most when you got involved in that first mobile home park.
So the first mobile home park we're still holding. So what surprised me the most, I mean, it's a tough asset to manage. So the most difficult thing about the mobile home park when we first started was, you know, the really biggest hurdle, the biggest, toughest part to manage is the utilities. That one, the utilities, you know, would break and it would have issues. So you really need a local team to help you, a team of contractors to help you. I just remember tenants calling me at midnight saying that there's no water, and that happens a lot. And that's the kind of stress that you have to be prepared to take on if you want to get into this space, because you're facing a different clientele, you're facing a different infrastructure, the biggest thing is that in a small city, in which most mobile home parks are in smaller cities, you know, they're not in the urban setting, they're mostly in the rural setting. And it will be harder to find a mobile home park contractor, people who are actually working on mobile homes or parks themselves, because there are so many resources for people who are interested in, for contractors who can fix up a house, who can fix a plumbing issue at a single family home. But for a mobile home, it's built differently, it's structured differently, the infrastructure is completely different. It will be very difficult to find someone who can fix it, let alone at midnight on a weekend. So you have to be able to take on that pressure. You have to have the kind of knowledge about basic home maintenance and park maintenance and plumbing. You better have a good engineering background or a partner who has that to help you out with that.
So what's been your favorite part of being an investor in mobile home parks? You can't use cash flow or cap rate as an answer. What's your favorite part of doing this side of the business?
Well, outside of the money, I think...
Because you can make money anywhere, right? You've chosen a really interesting niche market. I'm curious as to what keeps you in that space in specific.
Right. You can make money anywhere. But I think for this space, for any space, you have to be able to deliver a solution to the marketplace, provide value to be able to make money. So if you don't deliver a value or a solution to the marketplace, you won't make money. So I think the best thing about what I do is the ability to solve a problem of affordable housing. And it's really a crisis in our country right now. And the ability to deliver some sort of value, some sort of solution to ease that problem. And, you know, because the bigger the problem you solve, the more value you deliver and the more money you're going to be able to make. So it really comes with that. So I would say is the ability to solve a bigger problem, a bigger challenge. And money just follows if you're able to solve that problem well. If you're the best one in the marketplace that solves the problem the best, I would say you are the winning part in the marketplace.
I love that because you're right. It's possible to be a solution as well as being profitable. It doesn't have to be exclusive. And last question I'm going to ask you has to do with the regulatory burden that often hits mobile home parks because a lot of counties and cities don't want them, don't like them, neighbors fuss about them because they do have some stigmatization for no reason at all. What are you doing to help combat that? Because with the affordability crisis that we have in the country, there is a space for a well-managed, well-run mobile home park. Are you trying to help drive that conversation anywhere?
Absolutely. I think as mobile home park owners, all of us have the responsibility to drive that conversation. And you're right in that counties and cities and, you know, local government do not like mobile home parks. And not because of stigma is one of them. And another reason is the tax reason. They don't want mobile home parks to be there. They want to develop into a commercial building or something that takes more tax dollars. This is really right. Follow the money. So that's really why. The thing is, there are two categories of cities and legislatures you can work with. One is that they are extremely against mobile home parks. And because neighbors are complaining and they don't like the look of it and they're not making money off of it, that's one type. The second type is the ones that are willing to work with you and they're the ones that are either moderately friendly or they don't really care as much as long as you follow the rules. And I would say the second type is the type that you would want to work with more because it's really, really difficult to change that stigma overnight, especially money when money is the motive behind why those city governments do not want to work with you. And that's very difficult to change. If you can't make money, no amount of conversation and convincing them that it's solving a problem is going to put actual dollars in their pocket. So they're not going to buy that. So you would want to work with, when you're buying a mobile home park, you would want to search for, get a feel of how the city feels about this mobile home park. So if you're under contract or before you even go under contract, you looking at this mobile home park, call the city and see, oh, I'm thinking about buying this park. What do you think of it? And then if they tell you, oh, that's such a headache, we're trying to get rid of it, then you might want to think twice on whether you should even proceed with the sale. And right. If that's a headache you want, because they can really cause you a lot of headache. We've gone through that many, 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 many times. And they can give you violations. They can issue you unfair violations, and you still have to fight them, right? You still have to hire an attorney and fight them. And it's just a costly, non-profitable model. So you really want to avoid that.
That's great advice. And there's also just a reminder, friends, just because elected officials say they want to improve affordable housing and they want to improve opportunities, they don't always want to fix it. They like running on an issue. They don't like fixing issues. And so that's great advice to call and get the true input before you get your money invested in something that could be a losing battle. But I'm with you. To find that neutrality is actually what you want. You want a government body that's neutral, that will hear both sides and be thoughtful in their decision making, not be an activist on either side. So, Charlotte, I'd love for you to share your contact information so our folks can reach out to you and find out more about Johns Creek Capital and how they can get involved and ask more questions. What's the best way for them to find you?
Yep. The best way to reach me is to go to our website at johnscreekcapital.com. And there's a contact form, really easy to fill out. And once you fill that out, I'll get a message. I'll reach out regionally within one business day and we'll go from there.
Sounds fantastic. And of course, all of her contact information is in the show notes for this episode. So if you're interested in learning more, reach out, leave her a comment down here below to thank her for joining us on the show and give her a high five for being a young investor who's turned into something much bigger than she probably ever guessed and more room to grow, of course. So thank you for coming on the show, Charlotte. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. Thank you.
All right, guys, make sure you share and like and come back for the next conversation. We'll see you next time.
Okay, now don't forget to go try Follow-Up Boss so that your business can continue to expand in professionalism and then you can meet some more crazy people yourself. I really appreciate Follow-Up Boss sponsoring this episode, but mainly I appreciate them for giving y'all double the free trial time with no credit card required. So make sure you go to followupboss.com/crazy and then let me know what you think. I'll see you guys next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one of the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown or tweet me at Lee Brown or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.